Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives on this Halloween Tuesday. All of it brought to you by Away Travel. Your luggage should not cost more than your plane ticket. Away Travel's luggage is designed with the highest quality materials and still under $300. And right now, for $20 off any suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/martini and use promo code martini during checkout. Jim, let's start with our good martini, and we go back over 5 years now to update this story, but it is worth updating today to be sure with the help of Ed Morrissey at Hot Air as well as ABC News. First, Ed, it took more than 5 years, but the U.S. has captured another alleged leader of the terrorist attack that took the life of Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans in Benghazi. A Navy SEAL raid in Libya captured Mustafa al-Imam, a radical Islamist militia leader suspected of playing a major role in the Ansar al-Sharia attack on both the U.S. consulate and its security annex on the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. The Department of Justice has waited almost 30 months to serve this warrant. Now to ABC News. U.S. forces captured al-Imam just before midnight local time Sunday in Misrata on Libya's north coast. U.S. officials said he was taken to a U.S. Navy ship at the Misrata port for transport by military plane to Washington, where he's expected to arrive within the next 2 days. Once on American soil, he will face trial in U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia as the FBI continues to investigate. He faces three criminal charges that were filed in May 2015, but only recently unsealed: killing or conspiring to kill someone during an attack on a federal facility, providing support for terrorists, and using a firearm in connection with a violent crime. Money quote from Donald Trump, quote, "Our memory is deep and our reach is long, and we will not rest in our efforts to find and bring the perpetrators of the heinous attacks in Benghazi to justice." So, Jim, it's been pretty frustrating. In 5 years up until this news broke, we basically had one person in custody, and we know there's a whole lot more who were involved. So the fact that we're still on this case, and it looks like we got a pretty big fish, reason to celebrate.
How many were involved in the Benghazi attack range from 80 to 100, 120. I think I've even seen the number 200 thrown around. We know it was a large group of jihadists. And so the question of why we couldn't hold more of these guys held to account and to actually say, you know, we will not forget these sorts of attacks on Americans. Look, there's no need to rehash all of the Benghazi attack, but I remember thinking this was a very big deal because it was a scandal and a heinous crime that had three aspects. The first was the failure to heed the warnings of Ambassador Stevens beforehand. The second was the failure to mobilize any significant response the night of the attack. And then the third part was Susan Rice and the implausible and ultimately phony explanations that were given to the American public beforehand. But maybe we should add a fourth one to this scandal, which was that after this attack, which killed a U.S. ambassador, the first time in many years that it happened, we didn't really do anything. We're used to see, 9/11 obviously launched the entire war in Afghanistan. We spent, years hunting down bin Laden. We are used to believing that if you attack and kill Americans and you're a terrorist group, we will get you someday, right? It might take you a while. You can run. You can try to hide. But eventually, the United States military will track you down, and they will bring you to either, as George W. Bush put it, either we will bring you to justice or justice will be brought to you. And in the case of Benghazi, there was one guy who they got 2 years later who was apparently already giving interviews to the New York Times. It was not like this guy was, in deep hiding somewhere in the middle of the Libyan desert. And it was extraordinarily frustrating. And you can't help have this sneaking suspicion that because Benghazi had turned into this giant lingering scandal and embarrassment for the Obama administration, that they just wanted it to fade into history. They just wanted it to get beyond it. Now, look, they did capture the ringleader. They did get the guy 2 years ago. And then it stopped. And as I said, they were talking about at minimum 80 people involved in this attack, and there was no other effort. So finally, we see some significant progress on this. One other perpetrator brought to justice. God bless the Navy SEALs and everyone involved in this mission to capture this guy. The other thing also is kind of a recognition that I don't know, but obviously, look, the Mueller news yesterday was a very big deal, Greg. But I was kind of struck by the fact that I think this was buried on page like A11 or A12 in today's paper. It really got overshadowed. And I think it's definitely worth, look, every time we capture a terrorist and are able to bring them to justice, that is big news and that is worth celebrating.
Absolutely right. So let's hope that the charges stick. Let's hope that he talks. Let's hope we find a whole lot more of those people who are involved in taking the lives of those brave Americans. All right, let's move on to horrific news in the bad martini, and that's the follow-up to the Kevin Spacey story. And we've got a couple different elements here. First of all, Fox News. Rosie O'Donnell has come out swinging against fellow actor Kevin Spacey, likening him to disgraced producer Harvey Weinstein and tweeting, quote, "We all knew about the House of Cards star's alleged behavior." Spacey, of course, this news broke on Sunday when the actor Anthony Rapp accused Spacey of trying to force himself onto Rapp when Rapp was just 14 years old and Spacey was 26. This is back in the mid-1980s. Spacey then issued this statement saying he doesn't remember it, but if it happened as Rapp described it, quote, "I owe him the sincerest apology for what would have been deeply inappropriate drunken behavior." And then he uses the opportunity to say, "Oh, by the way, I'm gay." And so that has gotten a lot of people upset because there's a lot of folks, obviously, who don't want to equate being gay to being a child predator. And Rosie O'Donnell tweeted to Spacey on Monday, quote, "You don't remember the incident 30 years ago? Blank you, Kevin. Like Harvey, we all knew about you. I hope more men come forward," unquote. Couple other elements here that shows that this is another open secret in Hollywood. This is the first couple paragraphs in a story from the UK Guardian today, Jim. "Hollywood has a rampant and pervasive problem of men sexually abusing boys and young men, according to actors and lawyers who are speaking up about misconduct and harassment in the wake of an allegation against actor Kevin Spacey. Quote, it's a very taboo subject," said Alex Winter, an actor and director who said he was sexually abused as a preteen child actor. Quote, "I don't know of any boys in any pocket of the entertainment industry that do not encounter some form of predatory behavior. It's really not a safe environment," unquote. And Corey Feldman, of course, has been associated with this. Matt Lauer on the Today Show is asking him why he doesn't just cough up the names publicly. He wants to do so in a documentary, and he's worried about statute of limitations running out and him getting sued. But he also had this to say about all the other people who know who these people are.
"There are thousands of people in Hollywood who have this same information. Why is it all on me? Why is it if I don't release the names in the next 2 months, 6 months, or a year, I'm the bad guy? I'm the victim here. I'm the one who's been abused. I'm the one who's trying to come forward and do something about it."
But
there are, I'm sorry. There are thousands of people out there, Matt, who have this information. Any one of those child actors that went to the teenage soda pop clubs with me when I was a kid know who those people are and the people who ran it.
And so whatever you think of Corey Feldman's strategy here in figuring out how to release this, Jim, it's obvious that this is a huge problem. It's obvious that a lot of people knew about it. And once again, we're banging our heads against the table about why everybody just looked the other way.
Yeah, look, there are a lot of times if we've featured Rosie O'Donnell in the Three Martini Lunch of the past, it's generally been as an object of ridicule. But when you say something like that, you know, like Harvey, we all knew about you in the context of a sexual predatory effort against a 14-year-old, that makes you sit up and take notice and say, one, oh, dear God, maybe there are other cases. And two, wait a minute. What do you mean everybody knew about him? Everybody knew he was a sexual predator in general? Everyone knew he was a sexual predator against underage targets? Well, you know, if you know something like that, why don't you do something about that? Now, look, we've just had a circumstance in which we saw the revelations about Harvey Weinstein, in which it was very clear he could make or break careers. Apparently, the indication of the Washington journalist and frequent Morning Joe host Mark Halperin, by the way, quick to emphasize, Mark Halperin is the guy who's accused of this. Mark Halperin is a novelist who has nothing to do with this. And I'd hate to be him getting those angry letters and tweets these days. Mark Halperin allegedly told the women he was harassing that if you speak up, you will never work in politics or journalism again. Now, we don't know whether Halperin would have the power to do something like that, but this is a fairly strong incentive for victims to keep quiet, right? The question is, will they believe me? Will this powerful person seek to punish me? Will I end up destroying my career because of my speaking the truth about somebody else's bad behavior? This is a lot to ask of a victim. And I think we probably should have a little bit of humility and kind of a little bit of reticence when it comes to pointing the finger at a victim and saying, why didn't you do more? Having said that, what Rosie O'Donnell is at least indicating is the fact that maybe lots of people knew about this sort of stuff going on. And once again, nobody did anything. And we're kind of left with this extraordinary, frustrating circumstance in which, wait a minute, if everybody knows this is going on, you do really have to kind of take the moral temperature of these people and say, wait a second, if you can just kind of shrug your shoulders at alleged predatory behavior towards teenagers and things like that, like, good heavens, what's going wrong with you? I'm reaching the point where I just want to burn the entire establishment down. If this is going on, apparently there was some other UK organization that repealed an award they had given Spacey because they'd heard about these rumors for a long time, and now they knew they were true. Wait a second! If you knew about these rumors for a long time, why'd you give him the award? There was nobody else who could have gotten that award. It really is kind of just jaw dropping that everyone is. There are two possibilities here: either everybody really did know, and everyone was kind of complicit in this code of silence. Everybody knew this was all going on. Everybody's hands were dirty. No, everyone was afraid to speak out because they felt like lots of negative consequences for their career, that the people who were perpetrating this were just too powerful to stop. So everybody kept their head down and pretend they didn't notice. Or they didn't really know this, and they're now claiming to, and not realizing how bad this makes them look. So, again, I hope everybody involved spills all this. Is it possible we're going to get some false accusations in the mix? I suppose it's possible, but, boy, Feldman sure seems to have a lot of specifics in his allegations. So it's one of those things where I hope there's a full accounting of this. And I understand that apparently Jimmy Kimmel has said that he expects the Oscars to be a Weinstein-free zone. I hope he means that Weinstein will not be invited, and he doesn't mean that this will be a verboten topic, because I think this is the sort of thing Hollywood should be talking about at its most celebrated night.
Absolutely. They have no problem lecturing us on everything else. It's about time they did a little more introspection, and hopefully the efforts of Corey Feldman and some of these other people will completely blow the lid off of this, because this is just sickening beyond description and hard to even contemplate. But Jim, let's talk about some good news, and that is that you can get excellent luggage at a fantastic price. We talked about Away Travel at the start of the podcast. Away Travel uses high-quality materials while offering a much lower price compared to other brands by cutting out the middleman and selling directly to you. You can choose from a variety of colors and four sizes: the carry-on, the bigger carry-on, the medium, or the large, which you can use for extended stays.
All suitcases are made with premium German polycarbonate, unrivaled in strength and impact resistance, and very lightweight. The interior features a patent-pending compression system for overpackers like me. All suitcases feature four 360-degree spinner wheels that guarantee a smooth ride. There is TSA-approved combination lock built into the top of the bag to prevent any thefts. Removable, washable laundry bags keep your dirty clothes separate from your clean ones. Both sizes of the carry-on are available to charge all cell phones, tablets, e-readers, and anything else that's powered by a USB cord. A single charge of the Away carry-on will charge your iPhone 5 times. So you no longer have to gather around that one little outlet in the airport, you know, like huddled masses struggling for warmth. It's a lifetime warranty, so if anything breaks, they will fix it or replace it for you for life. And there's a 100-day trial. Live with it, travel with it, Instagram it. If at any point you decide their suitcases are not for you, you can return them for a full refund, no questions asked.
And it gets even better, because there's free shipping on any Away order within the lower 48 states. Plus, carry-on sizes that are compliant with all major U.S. airlines while maximizing the amount you can pack due to that great compression system. As I mentioned last week, I received the carry-on, that's the smaller one, and used it for a quick weekend trip, and it worked fantastic. It's extremely lightweight. That's one of the first things that surprised me. You can fit a lot of stuff in there, and obviously the bigger you get, the more stuff you can fit in there, but I got everything in there that I needed to. Having the ability to charge the cell phone while you're waiting for your flight is fantastic, especially if you end up delayed. Then you're not, as Jim said, huddling around an outlet. I love the fact that you can have the laundry bag. It's also a waterproof bag, so you can put swim trunks or anything else in there that you just don't want to mingle with your good, nice, clean clothes. So I highly recommend folks taking a look at Away Travel and trying it out for yourself. So right now, for $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com. awaytravel.com/martini and use promo code martini during checkout. One more time, that's awaytravel.com/martini and use promo code martini at checkout for $20 off any suitcase. Jim, let's move to our crazy martini now. And folks have commented on this, I guess, over the past couple of weeks, but it's really become more and more obvious that the Megyn Kelly NBC experiment is not turning out the way it was originally designed to. Megyn Kelly, of course, was one of the big stars at the Fox News Channel. A few years ago, she got her own primetime show. Then the next thing you know, she's one of the moderators at presidential debates in the 2016 cycle. Then she became the story after the first one because of her dust-up with Donald Trump and, more specifically, the things he said about her afterwards. And then after Election Day 2016, she announces she's not coming back to Fox, even though they offered her a whole lot of money. Instead, she was going to NBC. She first starts with this Sunday night show. Pretty good ratings the first night because she interviewed Putin. Then the ratings absolutely tanked from there. Then they move her to the third hour of the Today Show. And she got into a dust-up with Jane Fonda and some other celebrities, so they didn't want to come on her show anymore. And then she ended up in a dance party with Hoda. And today was Halloween. She was dressed up like Shania Twain. And here's the depth of Megyn Kelly's program now on NBC.
Last week, we did a segment called Try This Today. And together, we tried to pull off some last-minute Halloween decor for our doors, like creepy hands filled with candy corn and jelly beans. And guess what? I tried that today. And look at my front door.
Her front door turned out just fine, in case you were wondering. Then she had Shania Twain on because Megyn Kelly was dressed up as Shania Twain for Halloween. And they had this fascinating discussion about how to toss a microphone stand from one hand to the other.
All right, Shania, you got to walk me through it because I did watch Shania Twain videos for a couple of days, especially this morning. And what I really want to know is, hold on a second. Oh, it's over there. It's too low. But like the mic stand, like you were batting it back and forth.
Yeah, fascinating. And so then, you know, Megyn Kelly, when she had that 9 o'clock show Eastern Time on Fox, Jim, she was known for drilling down to the core issue of a scandal or a breaking news story. Here it is how she has translated those skills over to NBC.
You have been writing, you wrote it in the Bahamas, right?
I wrote a lot of it in the Bahamas. I
wrote it on herself.
Yeah,
what is a country girl like you doing writing your country album in the Bahamas?
Jim, Megyn Kelly's still getting paid really well, but as far as NBC is concerned, this experiment has not succeeded.
Greg, am I the only person who listens to that and watches that and just cringes? And it's not out of, I'd like to think, out of any particular animus towards Megyn Kelly. If it's a free country, she can pursue success in her career any way she likes. But we all remember what Megyn Kelly was on Fox News, like only about a year or two, right? I mean, she was at one point the toughest woman in news and the future face of serious probing interviews that generated real headlines. And she tried that a little bit over at NBC News for a while. But now it looks like she really has morphed into this soft, fuzzy, cuddly celebrity interview morning show host. And if that's what she wants to do with her career, fine, and God bless her, and I hope for success. It's just you get whiplash with this enormous persona change. And for someone who was kind of seen as a kind of potential role model for women in journalism and demonstrating that women could do it as much as anybody else, for her to recede back into a softball role is kind of surprising. And the other thing, look, yes, the Today Show always has this tradition of really elaborate Halloween costumes. I remember it was a couple of years ago that wasn't it Matt Lauer dressed up as Jennifer Lopez?
And
everybody left scratching their heads. So on the one hand, yes, we should expect Megyn Kelly to come out in some sort of elaborate costume. But man, when this was arguably the most powerful woman in the news business and you know, kind of the toughest nails, get to the brass tacks, you know, not going to let you wiggle out and evade a question. This just looks and seems like a different Megyn Kelly. And I think there was somebody, somebody in the New York Times who'd written like they always disliked Megyn Kelly on Fox News. But now they realize how much they miss that Megyn Kelly. And it really feels like we've gotten some sort of happy clone who just wants to dance with Hoda and dress up and talk to Shania Twain. And that's fine, but that's kind of what we have Entertainment Tonight for, right?
Jim, two things I want to point out. First of all, when Jim said, hey, let's do this for the crazy today, he included a link to a 9-minute and 50-second clip that I am never, ever getting back in my life. Secondly, here's my theory on Megyn Kelly. Because she was on Fox, the liberals don't forgive her and they still hate her. And because she left Fox, people on the right can't stand her. And so she really has no base. What do you make of that?
I think there is something to that. I mean, obviously, like, it didn't take long for her to, because of that tough opening question to Trump in that first debate, that Trump lashed out at her. The Trump fans see her as, you know, I guess some hostile press force or something like that. And of course, the folks who should be the most would ordinarily be the most supportive of her asking tough questions of Trump say, oh, she's part of Fox News. She's part of the machine. She's part of the right wing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I just want to, you know, like somewhere in the middle, thinking she was always pretty good at what she did and what her persona was. It's very odd to watch her run away from that old persona as quickly as she seems to be doing. And again, it's her career. She's free to make these kinds of decisions. But boy, oh boy, this just feels like she got bumped on the head and there's been this total personality change. And for those of us who kind of like the old Megyn Kelly, I think many of us are not sure what to make of this, you know, happy, easygoing, cute and cuddly morning show host role. When it certainly does not seem like that's where she was going earlier in her career.
And finally, of course, we wish everyone a safe and a happy Halloween. Hopefully all the houses you go to have the good candy and not the knockoff stuff that you're just going to hand out to the kids that come to your house later. Jim, we are going to have two princesses going around the neighborhood. We've got Ariel from Little Mermaid and Rapunzel. What are your boys going to be doing this Halloween?
Oh, very good. So actually, I think I may dress up myself this year, Greg. I am thinking of going as a low-level campaign staffer named George. And I'm trying to persuade Mrs. Campaign Spot, my wife, to go as Putin's niece. We're very inside the Beltway. Actually, technically, we're not inside the Beltway, but we're just outside the Beltway neighborhood. So people might get that. If you happen to see two boys with bows and arrows vehemently threatening everyone and running completely afoul of the elementary school rules on not bringing weapons or ever coming, not having weapons, having anything that looks like a weapon or even thinking about weapons, chances are they're mine. Technically, they're supposed to be. I was trying to push them to be Green Arrow and Hawkeye, because for some reason they're obsessed with bows and arrows right now. But apparently they might just be Robin Hood and a kid running around with a bow and arrow. So hopefully you don't end up getting stuck with a bow and arrow, anybody. But if you did, well, you should have moved quicker.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today. Also, please go to visit our friends at awaytravel.com and get $20 off your next suitcase. That's awaytravel.com/martini and use the promo code martini at checkout. And please join us Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.